Hear elevated conversation on crucial issues. Boyd Matheson on Inside Sources.
Earlier this week on Monday, we had the host of Studio 5, KSL-TV, Brooke Walker, joined us on the show to talk about a wonderful challenge and a great focus that she had with her viewers going on during this week. It was all about your beautiful neighborhood. The challenge included everything from silent service to knowing your neighbor, taking a mindful walk, bragging on your neighborhood. And as always on this show, we want to look at not just the idea, but then what actually happens. And so we're really pleased to have joining us on a Friday, Brooke Walker. And Brooke, thanks for jumping on.
Oh, you know I like you if I'm here on a Friday.
Yeah. It's the ultimate test of friendship. Will you show up on a Friday afternoon?
I'm so glad to follow up. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's dive into this because you challenged your viewers to not just think about it, not just talk about it, but to actually go out and do it. And so I want to get some perspective of what happened out there in the amazing neighborhoods around the state. And I want to start with this whole idea of neighborhoods are more than just a nice nostalgic thing. There's much more to it than
yes.
that.
Yeah, one thing we saw, and it was so impressive to me how involved our viewers became in this challenge and also in this topic of conversation. And there was a lot of emotion. In fact, I think you asked me earlier in the week what surprised you about this topic or this series, this movement. And my answer, and I could still answer this way, was that there was so much emotion tied to people's reflections and people's memories and people's celebrations of their neighborhood. And I started to think about that. You know, nostalgia is kind of an interesting feeling because it's kind of all consuming. It's this combination of grief and gratitude. And that nostalgia can feel like this all consuming, overwhelming emotion. But underneath, as I listened to everyone's emotion this week and kind of, you know, opened my ears and my heart to their nostalgia, underneath every single memory or every single story they shared with us was a chance to develop a core value. We heard about, you know, especially this week, hello spring in Utah. We heard about a lot of neighbors, you know, feeling gratitude for the snow shoveling that was happening and the memories they had of neighbors serving them. And underneath that is service. We heard a lot of nostalgic stories about, you know, night games on the corner. We didn't go home until the street lamps came on. And, you know, the value behind that is this lesson to play fair. One viewer shared with us that she remembers as a little girl waking up, you know, in the middle of the night sometimes to find different neighbors sleeping on her couch because her mom had just had triplets. And so the neighborhood was on rotation, helping that couple, those parents, through the nighttime hours with three young babies. I mean, that sacrifice to give up your bed for some neighbor's couch, block parties, you know, the value there is how to share in joy. We actually heard some really touching moments about neighbors who showed up during times of loss at funerals. And there you have the value of sharing in each other's sorrows. So it was really sweet to consider not just the nostalgia and the memories and the emotion that comes with that, but that behind that are these really strong core values that we're learning from our neighbors.
Oh, I can't tell you how much I love that. So I'm just going to pause for a second because I want our listeners to just let that sink in. Nostalgia is not just a nicety. It's what's underneath it. So like everything else, we have to go beyond the headline of, oh, nostalgia is great. Nostalgia is a nice thing. There are values. There are principles underneath that, from communication to sacrifice to service, real meaningful things. And that leads to the next thing I want to get to with you, Brooke, and that is how our neighborhoods shape us. Sometimes we say we shape our neighborhoods and then our neighborhoods shape us. Tell us how you saw that play out this week.
It sort of was a for good or for not kind of a thing that your neighborhood does, you know, become part of who you are. We carry with us those attitudes, those examples, even the culture of the physical, you know, area, the surroundings that swallow us up. And that includes what we say. You know, we threw out some interesting questions via social media. There was a really entertaining thread that we were getting some giggles over. We asked what phrase or word was part of your neighborhood vocabulary. And certainly this ties into our Utah culture here locally. But what's a word or a phrase that stuck with you as an adult? It was kind of a lighter, funnier moment. People were saying things like, oh, my, I had a next door neighbor that said, oh, my stars. And now I say that to my kids. I had a neighbor who said hell of a over the church pulpit. Now I find myself saying that now and then. And then one viewer was like, I had a neighbor across the street that always said hot diggity dog. And wouldn't you know, hot diggity dog, I say that to this day. So little quirks that we sometimes roll our eyes at or maybe feel are cheesy or maybe not as reflective of who we want to be stick with us in ways that we don't realize.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
It's so important. We talked on your show. We actually talked about President Biden, and you talk about someone who was shaped by a neighborhood. I think if we all got a quarter for every time he references Scranton and his little neighborhood there, we'd all be rich. And we might be able to take out the national debt. But those things do shape us in such an important way. And as you said, Brooke, for good or for ill, our neighborhoods do make a difference for us, which really should put it on all of us to do our part to make sure. What are we doing to add to the positive shaping that and influence that our neighborhood can have?
Exactly. What's the attitude? What's the example I'm putting forward? What's the culture that I'm helping to create? Because it does shape more than just who we are, but it shapes all of the people around us.
And then I want to get to my favorite part, and that is your neighbors are part of your story. Describe how that's played out this week.
You know what? This has probably been the biggest, most poignant takeaway for me, as I've kind of had a front row seat to what's played out on Studio 5 and online this week. I, as you know, Boyd, I've dedicated a large portion, a majority of my career to the topics and the content and the conversations that strengthen home and family. And as I've done that the last 20 plus years, I've professionally been validated toward a personal core belief that I have, which is your family unit is not just by chance. Like we are part of a family unit or a family structure by design, whether it's weird Uncle Bob or the sister-in-law that you find annoying. All of these characters are put into our lives to help teach us and help shape us. And I found myself translating kind of that personal core belief about the family unit to neighbors this week. There was a really still moment in the studio, and you know how busy and bustling a studio can get, but Dr. Liz Hale, our Studio 5 marriage and family contributor, she captivated us all with the question, what if the person that you need really is just over the fence? Mm-hmm. Like, just as I described the family, you know, our family members being kind of players and characters in our lives that were sent here to shape us, what if the neighbors that are surrounding us are part of that story or part of that refining process? A lot of people put, a lot of thought, energy, prayer into where you live. It becomes a really important decision for you and your family. And I started to think, I don't know if the people that you end up living by are by chance. I just thought that was a really poignant thought. And we had some viewers chime in with really, really touching stories of how their neighbors have become part of their story. Viewer Kelly Hughes described a neighbor by the name of Skip Hoover. She said, she was a second mom to me. We played in her house, in her yard. She came up with all sorts of crafts and games and treats for us. And her love continued as we grew. If my mom was not available, she was always there to rescue us. Her loving care extended well beyond the strength of our neighborhood. Jeannie Bisson was another viewer, and she described a neighbor of hers growing up named Ethel Ball. She said she was an angel, and she and her family were so kind and helpful to me when I was a teenager, and matters in my home were chaotic and difficult. Her teenage daughter, who was also an angel, became my best friend. I would not be the person I am today if it weren't for her. Mm. And this story by viewer Nat Jensen totally touched me as well and gave me a smile too. She said, I sold Kool-Aid on our non-busy, quiet street corner. Our neighbor, John Gunter, drove by all afternoon up and down the street buying and leaving tips. Best and only customer of the entire day. Only later, she said, did we discover we left out the sugar. I love these stories, Boyd. I think they describe these characters. I mean, you can say the neighbor down the street is quirky, that neighbor is a little crazy, but ultimately they all are part of our story. Yeah. And perhaps they're here to teach us something and to refine our own spirits and our own selves into better people along the way.
Oh, I absolutely love this. Has been an amazing thing to watch play out on your show this week and on social media. And I would just echo, never, ever underestimate the power of a neighbor, especially in the life of a young person. You may think they're way beyond you. You may think they're completely disinterested in you. The power of a neighbor on a young person can be absolutely transformational. Brooke Walker, you always lead us to better places and spaces, and we're so grateful you led us to our own neighborhoods this week, and appreciate your work on Studio 5 for KSL-TV. Thanks so much for joining us and being part of our neighborhood.
Thank you, Boyd. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll step aside for some bottom of the hour news. We're going to go to the global neighborhood next. The annual report of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on giving and charitable contributions came out. We'll talk about that coming up next. Stick around. We'll be back on Inside Sources.